You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today, I thank you for tuning in on this darkest of days in recent Chicago Bears memory. Certainly a different feeling to end this season as the Bears fall short against the Philadelphia Eagles. I will be joined by Benjamin Solak, who covers the Eagles for Bleeding Green Nation, and he was in the press box at Soldier Field, and he's going to give us some perspective from what he saw in the locker room after the game, kind of what he was able to see from his vantage point. And he's a Chicago guy through and through, so there's some balance there between covering the Eagles and being a Chicago guy to kind of give, I think, very good perspectives on both teams. And then we'll wrap up with kind of a look ahead of where do we go here now and a little bit of a reflection back on this Bears season as a whole. Joining us now on Locked On Bears is Benjamin Solak. You can hear him on Bleeding Green Nation Radio, and he's the deputy editor of bleedinggreennation.com. You can also find his NFL draft work over with the Draft Network, three great places for both Eagles and NFL draft content. One of the best in the business, Benjamin Solak, joins us here. And Ben, you were at Soldier Field today, is that right?
Yes, sir. I had a fun season where I was with the Eagles for training camp, with them for the preseason games. And then I wasn't with them for the whole regular season because I live in Chicago. And then he decided to come to Chicago for the playoffs. So I've covered the Eagles postseason and preseason. And the regular season, I took off. So it's been an interesting year for me with the Eagles.
Well, it worked out well to have you cover a game in Chicago, and it works out well to have you join us for this Chicago podcast. Obviously, the Bears-Eagles game ends up coming down to the last play, and I don't want to necessarily focus too much on that, but I think that's where we need to start, that there's some, you know, there's now like this grainy Twitter video of Trayvon Hester potentially tipping part of the kick. And I think some reporters in the locker room had kind of talked to him about it. And it sounds like Hester is pretty confident that he kicked it. What was kind of the tip? What was the kind of feeling that you got surrounded that? What had you kind of heard from talking to players after the game?
Yeah, so it was funny because obviously Cody Parkey is an ex-Eagle. And so a lot of the Eagles players were asked kind of, you know, what were you saying anything to Cody? Were you talking to him? Brandon Graham said that he was, you know, he's screwing with Parkey a little bit. He was telling him like, oh, Cody, you know, just a game-winning kick. Don't stress about it, man. Take your time. Brandon Graham's a clown. And so that fits his personality. Jason Kelce said he didn't even know it was Cody Parkey until that moment, which I don't know if I buy that from Kelce. Kelsey's a smart dude. But I guess if he wasn't paying attention to who their kicker was, then he wasn't. A lot of the guys said that Hester said that he tipped it. Hester obviously said that he tipped it as well. Looks like he at least altered the ball's flight path in terms of like how it was rotating. And listen, clearly a game of inches sort of a kick. Heartbreak, obviously. I love Parkey when he was here. He's a good dude. And you hate to see that for a guy who went 3 of 3 for that game, was really the leading scorer for the team, for goodness sake. That's very disappointing for the season that he's had. But, yeah, no, the Eagles players did take a little bit of the mickey out of Parkey for that. He's an ex-Eagle, and they all know him pretty well.
Yeah, it's certainly a game of inches there. And Parkey being their leading scorer is a good point there that, you know, as much as Mitchell Trubisky seemed to put together a strong fourth quarter to help this team kind of climb back and take that late lead or take a lead there in the fourth quarter, there felt like there were some missed opportunities from the Bears, particularly in the first half as the defense for Chicago was able to generate those turnovers on Nick Foles. How would you kind of characterize the Eagles' defense in how they handled this Bears offense? You know, obviously Allen Robinson able to kind of go off for the big performance that he had, but pretty well limiting the damage everywhere else. It seemed like the pass rush maybe at times getting to Mitch, but overall not harassing him too much. How would you kind of characterize particularly this Eagles secondary stepping up in this type of a game?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about a couple of things for the Eagles secondary all year, which is number one, Schwartz, the defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, his willingness to leave his corners isolated on deep third islands and have them be responsible for those multi-break routes like the sluggo, like the out and the up. This is the routes that got Avonte Maddox there late in the game, Allen Robinson. We've talked about that for the Eagles secondary a lot. And we've also talked about the lack of free safety depth. Rodney McLeod goes down. It's Corey Graham back there as an older player who really struggles again to the boundary. And you saw the Bears end up attacking that in the second half. You kind of expected them to do it a little bit more in the first half, but it seemed like they're really trying to set up those multi-break routes with some quick slants and some quick outs and kind of, you know, sequence things that way. Pass rush for Philadelphia did what it's done all season. When the secondary was able to take away the first read, pass rush arrived consistently, moving Trubisky off of his spot, forcing him to step up into the pocket. And I think that's where you saw, like, for the Trey Sullivan dropped interception there in the end zone. That's what you saw, where the pass rush was able to force Trubisky into a late throw, moving off of his first read. And that's where Trubisky's at his weakest. That's where the Eagles defense wins. We said coming into the game, man, Eagles have been generating more turnovers recently. They really need to win the turnover battle. The Bears are undefeated when they win the turnover battle. And lo and behold, the Eagles dropped two picks. Significantly lost the turnover battle and still won the game. So, you know, number one, what do we know? We don't know anything. But number two, Eagles defense tried to give it the Bears. They really tried to give them life there at a couple moments. Batting down the hatches when it counted, I guess. But really the story of the game is going to, I think, have to be what Trubisky's able to do long-term for the Bears, how consistent he's going to be able to be. His first playoff starts, you don't want to take too much out of his performance in that regard. And whether or not, you know, he's going to be able to become that franchise quarterback you can really trust in those big game situations.
And we won't see any more of those big game situations for the Bears this year, but there is still plenty at stake in the playoffs, and you can add a little bit more excitement to your games. Don't be that guy that's sitting around with no rooting interest as your relatives and friends sit around watching all these exciting games. Add some action, put some money down, and sign up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win, and ownership really cares about good customer service, and they really throw in some crazy prop bets as well. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on, and if you want to make money this NFL playoffs, you got to go to MyBookie. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for the rest of these playoffs. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON when you make your first deposit to activate the offer. That is promo code LOCKEDON, locked on. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Up next, we turn our attention to the play of this Eagles secondary and look at the absence of Tariq Cohen's production before we turn our attention to one Nick Foles and how this Eagles offense was able to produce the way it did. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. Well, we're here with Benjamin Solak from Bleeding Green Nation, as well as the Draft Network. And Ben, heading into this matchup, I kind of felt like, I had circled Tariq Cohen as someone who I thought could do some damage against this Eagles defense, particularly with the way earlier in the season, guys like Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey seemed to be able to have success against that D. And yet, I think Cohen finishes with 4 touches and something around 40 yards in the game, not really a particularly big factor. So how concerned were you about Cohen and the Bears potentially finding space with running backs, and were you surprised with how that ended up playing out?
Yeah, I mean, you're always concerned when you see a guy like Tariq Cohen in the backfield. He's a problem. Simply the fact that you can line him up in so many different places, you can ask him to do so many different things. The one thing Philadelphia has, I think, right now, week 17, looking at week 18 again against Alvin Kamara, that they didn't have back in those games against the Saints and the Panthers. That's a linebacker in Nigel Bradham, who was their best coverage backer, especially against running backs last season. They gave him a big, healthy contract extension. He was struggling earlier in the season. This was one of his better performances that we can really remember for Bradham, and that's what's going to make the difference. When he's able to fly around the field sideline to sideline, he's able to come up collision and make hits, make tackles, where you discourage a lot of those running back routes, a lot of those running back plays. Philadelphia's secondary in general, Rasul Douglas, Cravon LeBlanc, these guys who weren't starters to start out the year, they were on the bench or on the street in LeBlanc's case in favor of Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby, in favor of those two guys. The Mills and Darby struggled tackling, and Rasul and LeBlanc are good tacklers who come up to the field well, and they're able to provide a physical presence, and that really limits Yak. You've seen that become a strength of Philadelphia's defense, I think, the limiting Yak in recent weeks. And so I was glad to see the success they had against Cohen, especially with Alvin Kamara coming down the mountain. Yeah, I think you could have expected to see him get more touches, but it's a tough run defense, and it's a good rally defense in Philadelphia. So it does make a little bit of sense that they were able to keep Cohen batted down.
Yeah, and on the other side, the Bears' defense seemed to have a little trouble kind of keeping these Eagles' running backs held down, 1.8 yards per carry. Obviously, the analytics community will debate the value of the running game till the end of time, but this was a game that put a lot of the pressure on the shoulders of Nick Foles. I know you wrote a great piece leading into this game, kind of characterizing the magic of Nick Foles and kind of what he has represented for this team. I guess, could you put Nick Foles' performance today in that context? I mean, even just kind of the full swing of two interceptions in the first half and comes back and continues to fight hard and lead this team down and, you know, spread the ball around to a lot of different guys and ultimately do enough to win this game, even though he got some help here and there.
Yeah.
I mean, how would you kind of characterize this Nick Foles performance, even compared to some other Nick Foles' showings?
I would say if you take the four games he's played this season in relief of Carson Wentz, kind of forget the first 2 weeks, and if you were to take the three playoff games he had last year, this was probably his second worst game, only to the Atlanta Falcons game last year, the first playoff game, which really they felt like, you know, obviously that was when the underdog masks first came out for Philly, that Atlanta game. But in the media and coming into the Vikings game, man, you really felt like they escaped with one because Foles didn't play too well in that Atlanta game. Again, first playoff game of the season, he really didn't play too well, missed a healthy amount of throws. You know, obviously they come down the field and they score, but it's easy to forget that they had a drive, you know, the first drive where they were down 15-10, where they had to punt because Foles missed a couple of throws, including a crucial third down throw to an open Dallas Goedert. He struggled. You know, he was very first read heavy. His interceptions were bad, mistakes. Obviously, Foles in the clutch just seems to be something special. Fourth and two with the game on the line. I mean, like, to me, there was no doubt it was a touchdown. At this point, I've stopped doubting Nick Foles. He's beyond reason. He's beyond understanding. He comes up well in the clutch. But to see this Eagles team win, strong defensive performance, strong supporting cast performance, when the quarterback wasn't at his sharpest, just speaks to the fact that if Foles gets a hot game, which we know Foles can certainly do, he's a very up-and-down quarterback, this team has the pieces to be what they were last year, you know, and it makes sense. That's what they've always supposed to be on paper. And so a weaker game from Foles, but, you know, he always turns out these weaker games and yet still somehow manages to make the plays when they count. He confounds. You know, he bemuses. It's tough to explain the guy. At this point, you kind of just ride with him.
So if going into this matchup, I had told you Nick Foles would complete two real deep shots, and for the most part, the Eagles' running game really stuffed, and the Bears would outproduce them in terms of rushing and passing for the most part, and the Bears would still get two turnovers off of Nick Foles. Would you have characterized, like, when you kind of step back and take the context out of it, would you have characterized this Eagles' offensive performance as good enough to win this game in sort of normal context situations? Because I guess it just seems to me like there were, you know, between some weird penalties and some kind of difficult situations of, you know, turnovers not being capitalized and field position not necessarily being capitalized on and mistakes here and there by both teams, I don't know, it didn't feel like either team, you know, really dominated in any way offensively. Like, it was a lot of kind of just slugging back and forth. But what did you kind of feel like as far as where the two teams kind of stood with their respective performances?
No, I said it in the second half there where they were kind of just exchanging blows at 3-3. You know, I said, like, hey, you guys ever want to watch a playoff game where neither team wants to win? Like, you know, who's just, who can kind of, you know, the Eagles will give up a penalty, give up a third down, only to have Mitchell Trubisky try to throw them a pick, but the Eagles will drop it before they can catch it. You know, like, who can lose better here? You know, it was not so much, like, you know, you want to call it sloppy play, but it was just tight play, in my opinion. It was a nervous play with high impact play. And that's kind of the nature. It's the first playoff game. You're strung up. Obviously the Bears haven't had a playoff game in 8 years at Soldier Field. And so it's a lot of new faces, their first time in that environment. So you understand why there's so much jazz. First year head coach, you know, second year quarterback, first time in the playoffs. It's important to remember, you know, there's to me a lot of similarities between a first year head coach and Sean McVay, second year quarterback in Jared Goff, a killer defensive coordinator in Wade Phillips, who go into the wild card round against the Atlanta Falcons in last year's playoffs, and they come up short in a game where they just seemed flat for four quarters. They end up losing, I think, 15-24 to the Falcons in that game. Yeah, it's your first playoff experience. It's a totally different environment. It's a totally different feel, and it's very tough for first-time playoff start quarterbacks, very tough for first-time playoff coaches. That's just what we've seen statistically over the years, and the narrative makes sense as well. And so I wasn't terribly surprised to see the Bears come out super flat. I expected them to be able to win a game that was a grinded out sort of game against the Eagles, because their style of play lends itself to that much more so, which is why I think the big disappointment for the Bears is probably their unwillingness to shoot deep in the first half, and then also their running game really wasn't able to generate the sort of ball control presence you'd like to see. And for Philadelphia at this point, you know, Philadelphia came out, I think, with a flat offense in the first half against the Texans, and they were able to pull things kind of out of their butt there to finish things off. The Eagles, you know, I cover the team closely. I work covering the team, and I can't explain them. Nobody can at this point. You know, they're kind of, you shrug your shoulders with how they are sometimes. The credit really goes to Doug Peterson, Nick Foles, who constantly have this, you know, no matter if we're winning, we're losing, we're playing well, we're playing poorly, every time we go out on the field, it's 0-0, we're just playing ball. They keep their team so steady. They keep everybody so goal-oriented. And they always have faith in themselves. They've dug every hole they're in, they've dug themselves out of a deeper one. So when they play flat, it's usually just a matter of time until somebody sparks something. They're a funny team, man.
Well, they are a funny team, and they've got a great guy covering them for Bleeding Green Nation, and as well as breaking them down in the NFL draft over at the Draft Network. Ben, really appreciate all your time this evening. I know you've been running around all day. You were down at Soldier Field having a good time, and I wish your Philadelphia Eagles the best of luck as we move through the playoffs here. Let everyone know where they can find you on Twitter and any of your other work that I didn't plug there.
No, certainly. And no, thanks for having me on, Lauren. The Bears are a fun team to prepare for, and they're a fun team to watch. I think you got a real gem in Nagy. So I'm really excited to see what kind of comes down the mountain for y'all in the years to come. And I live in Chicago, so I've got love for the Bears in general. But yeah, I'm on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. Solak is S-O-L-A-K. Bleeding Green is the Eagle stuff. Draft Network is the draft stuff, as you said. So Bears fans, whenever you're ready, if you make your way on over to thedraftnetwork.com, whenever it feels right for you, we'll get you prepped for the upcoming NFL draft. Hey, it was a great game, Lauren. Thanks for having me, man.
And I'm sure as we get deeper into draft season, we'll get you back on the podcast to at least talk draft prospect once the Eagles hoist up their second consecutive Lombardi trophy, right?
Hey, it was good talking to you, buddy.
Hey, appreciate you taking the time tonight. Thank you.
Anytime, man. Have a good one.
Still to come, we reflect on this Bears season as a whole and take away some positives from what was a very encouraging year overall. And then we look ahead to what'll be coming up next in the Bears offseason. That's next on Locked On Bears. I want to thank everyone who's tuning in today to Locked On Bears, despite the heartbreaking loss to the Eagles, the last-second missed field goal by Parkey, the potential comeback put together by Mitchell Trubisky for naught. So a lot of reasons to not want to hear about the Chicago Bears today, and again, I appreciate everyone who tunes in regardless and hopefully can find some positives from this podcast and be able to both reflect on the season positively and warmly and look ahead and get excited about what could be coming up next. Because I think if we had talked before this season, you know, in the preseason, and, you know, we had said Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky were going to lead these Bears to a 12-4 season, the defense was going to be the top defense in the NFL, and it was going to be a heck of a ride when they won 9 out of their last 10 games of the regular season to finish out quite hot into the playoffs. I think most Bears fans would have easily signed up for that and would say this regular season exceeded their expectations. And maybe this postseason wild card loss puts a pretty big damper on that, but it shouldn't take away some of the great things the Bears did this season. I mean, the way that Trubisky was able to spread the ball around to a number of different receivers, get a lot of different guys open, and get slowly more and more comfortable running that Matt Nagy system. I mean, it seemed like we kind of talked all year about how this was going to be a little bit more of the developmental year for Trubisky, right? That, you know, this is his first year in Matt Nagy's scheme, and then in theory, next year, he'll be that much more comfortable and ready to take the Bears somewhere farther next year. So I've always kind of felt like this 12-4 NFC North leading season was overachieving and was a little bit extra, a little bit beyond what we could have reasonably expected before the year started. So there's a lot of reason to be hopeful to continue an upward trend into the next season. The Bears have a few free agents and potential changes coming in a few different positions at their roster, and they still have a few draft picks to look ahead to. So there'll be room for improvement for this Bears roster. There will be more moves by Ryan Pace to be made. I think you'll see this team continue to try and transition a little bit more to their homegrown talent as you see guys maybe start to leave here and there at other positions on the roster. They're already getting along there with, you know, guys on both sides of the ball that were drafted here or, you know, long developed here as undrafted free agents. I think you're going to start to see the Bears continue to make that push to have their depth be more reliant on that homegrown talent. And it'll be curious to see just how Ryan Pace tries to tune up this team a little bit. You don't need to shake up very much. I don't think you're going to see a kicker change because it would actually cost the Bears more money to release Cody Parkey than it would be to keep him. But I would expect to see some sort of kicker competition brought in, and then maybe if Parkey loses in training camp, you consider making a change there. But I would not expect a knee-jerk release of Cody Parkey this offseason. But even before that, we will hear from Ryan Pace here at some point in the coming days or weeks. He and Matt Nagy will hold some sort of end-of-the-year press conference, and you can be sure we will be all over that right here on Locked On Bears. And today is the day of Vic Fangio's head coaching interviews with the Miami Dolphins and Denver Broncos. Those are the only two that have been reported so far, but that doesn't mean there could be others in the work. So we're going to be having to monitor the Vic Fangio situation closely. We've already broken down a large number of potential defensive coordinator replacements on this podcast. If you go back to the January 2nd episode, would have been the first one of 2019, we broke down all the in-house candidates and all of the most notable outside potential defensive coordinator candidates the Bears could look to replace Vic Fangio with if he is indeed hired away to be a head coach elsewhere. But I want to assure you, we will have a full off-season of daily Chicago Bears news and analysis coming your way, just like we did last year. For those of you who haven't been around for an off-season, it'll be lots of NFL draft talk, even without the Bears having a first and second round pick. We'll get you with everything you need to know heading into draft day. Of course, we'll cover free agency up, down, left, right, upside down, sideways, all around, 360 degrees. You name it, we will be all over it. I also want to thank Ben Solak again for joining us on the podcast. I always include that extra thank you after the interview and didn't get a chance to get to one earlier today. So if you enjoyed the conversation Ben and I had, make sure you subscribe to the podcast to keep up with everything we're going to be bringing you all off season. The regular season is done. The playoffs is done. But the Chicago Bears talk, the Chicago Bears news, and that good old-fashioned analysis, that is year-round. That is 365, or at least, you know, weekdays when we put out this podcast. But it is a little bit more 365 in the Locked On Bears Facebook group. I'm sure the Bears talk will continue into the offseason and give you a little bit of Chicago Bears oasis in what can be a desert of non-Bears football throughout the offseason. I hope Locked On Bears can be that a little bit of a, you know, that oasis for you to provide you some of that relief as you get through the long off season. There's only one real way to get us back to next August when the Bears football really starts picking up again. You just have to buckle down, strap in, and bear down.